If you have your Bibles, let's open them for a few moments to the book of Genesis. And we will not be any other place but Genesis today. And we'll be starting a brand new series. We'll see how long we'll stick with it. And I'm just wanting us to be full of Scripture this year, full of Scripture, full of the Bible. So I'm going to try to take a book a week and give you the main message from that book of the Bible. So if you're wondering, so where do we turn to in Genesis? Here it is. Don't be discouraged. The whole book. And so we're covering the whole book of Genesis today, but not in detail. And we could spend hours just on the first verse. And just a little background here. Well, let's pray, and then we'll give you the background. Father, bless now this time. I pray that you would help us to begin right. That first verse, in the beginning, and help us to begin our year with thee. Begin each decision with you. Begin our young life, our Christian life, our marriages. Begin every financial decision with you, every big decision. And I pray that we would just begin our every area of our life, all centered around thee. Bless now the reading of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we go. The word genesis, it actually means genes, where we would get the word genealogy, or sometimes, especially if you have a child that misbehaves, most mates look at their mate and say, it's in your genes. And so we're real good at pointing out where the negative behavior comes from. It's always their family. It's your genes. And sometimes you'll hear that boy's got his daddy's genes. And that's where we get this word, Genesis or Genesis. And you could write in your Bible how it all began. So if you're a new Christian and you're wondering, where's Adam and Eve in the Bible? There it is, how it all began. What about creation? It all began. What about the first sin, the first murder, the first fear? The first time this word is used, it's usually right there in Genesis. First mention of heaven. What about the first person that passed away? The first marriage? The first nation? And it's all founded right there, Genesis. And so I want us just to look at several parts by way of introduction, and then we'll give you the main thought here, and then the title of the message. But look down, if you will, please. Notice how bombastic this starts. In the beginning, God. And if we ended right there, that's probably all we would need. You say, well, how did it all start? The big boom? No, God was before a big boom. And how do we know it was a big boom if no one was there to hear it? How do we know it went boom? And so forth. Anyway, we could debate that all day. But in the beginning, God. He's always been. You will never, ever figure that out. If you have a God that has to tell you every answer, every detail of how he did everything and why, you'll be a frustrated human on this planet. We have a God so big, there's going to be things about him you cannot understand in this lifetime and maybe not in the next lifetime up in heaven. It's going to take him all eternity to explain to us just how he made the planets. Just how he spoke and it all happened. You say, how'd that work? I don't know. His word is so powerful. He spoke and day by day things were created. He didn't just make things. He created things. He took nothing and turned it into something. I can take something and turn it into nothing. But I can take a good thing and mess it up, make it a bad thing. But God can take nothing and turn it into something. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The two places are mentioned where people will spend eternity there in the very first verse. It'll be heaven, it'll be hell, it'll be heaven, heaven on earth, and so forth. And we'll get on that later. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. And that's how God finds us, void. That word means empty. So God's plan of salvation is in the very first few verses here. When God found us, we were empty. We were dark. We were without hope. We had no purpose. We were nothing. I like that song, I was nothing until Jesus found me. He said we were without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. men love darkness rather than light. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Notice, God looked at us and said, I want to make something out of you. And he began moving or working on our heart. God spoke to us through nature, spoke to us through his word, spoke to us through God's people, spoke to us through circumstances. And it says in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. We went from darkness to light. We didn't see it and didn't understand. All of a sudden, we've said words like this. Now I see. You remember when you got saved and you accepted Christ? It was like, why do all these people go to church? And why are they always smiling? And why are they have bumpers there? Jesus said, what's all that about? And then when you received Christ as your Savior, all of a sudden your heart said, now I see. How come? The lights got turned on. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that walketh in darkness. And I don't know the rest of the verse, but it's a good one. But then it says, and God saw the light that it was good. Notice, God makes good things. And then God divided the light from the darkness. Here's the whole Christian life in two or three verses. We're in darkness without form. The lights turn on. His word, we see it, we understand, we receive Christ. Then he says, now it's time to divide up. Now it's time to choose sides. You want to live in darkness? I saved you from that. Why don't you get over here on the light? Once you get in with the right people and the right book and the right beliefs and walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. Jesus is the light, and as you walk in truth, he will help you. And then he starts creating. Look at this. It says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, folks, let me encourage you, you that read a lot and internet study a lot. If you're messed up on the first book of the Bible, you're going to be messed up on the last book of the Bible. You want to be careful about getting into all these debates about, was it a literal day? You know, maybe it was billions and billions of years. So why is it that people are trying to make it hard for God to create? Why is it that people would spend their lifetime arguing, was it billions? Hey, look. If God is so weak it takes him billions of years to get something done, and he can't do it just speaking immediately, we have a weak God. And we've got a God that speaks, that's day one. He speaks, that's day two. He speaks, and it's the planets, and then it's the animals, and it's the fish, it's the fowls of the air. Then he creates mankind. And so let's hurry here. Thank you, Billy. I appreciate it. I'm going to Tacoma tomorrow, so get your ticket, and you can come with me. And so he goes through all the creation. Verse 21, after their kind, the fowl, after their kind. There is no evolution, folks. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm sorry. A dog didn't turn into a horse, and later on the horse turned. No. He made after their kind. He put the genes and all the DNA and the RNA and all the, let me see, what's a nurse called? Oh, RN, put the RN in them, and RNA, and he made the animals, animals. He made the fish, fish. He made the fowls, fowls. Amen. Sorry. You want to hear my poem? Here I am. Once I was a tadpole, black and thin. Then I was a froggy with my tail tucked in. Then it was a monkey swinging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. And so there it is, their little evolution there for you. So here we are. And then look down, verse 27. He says, but God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Notice how smart God is. Here's when he made the human race. He made them male and female. He didn't know it was God. Somehow God didn't get informed. He didn't know it's 67 varieties now. Back then, it was male and female. He figured that's enough to get the race going and multiply. And let me encourage you. You cannot improve on God's creation. I'm just throwing this out here. Whatever God made you, he did not make a mistake. That you may be struggling emotionally and your identity and things like that. You need to talk to someone and read God's word and get some insight from some people. But I'm just saying, he makes no mistake. Now, I'm going to make a statement I've never said before, so please don't run out and quote me and say I'm a heretic. You ready? Here we are. Get your cell phones off. You ready? Please don't record this. You can in the back. But whose phone is on? Let's turn it off. Okay, here it is. You ready? I was a man in a woman's body. for 9 months. Then I got born! I can see on the internet, it's going to be just half of that quote, and someone goes, just stop right there. I'm just telling you. Now, after hurry, we ain't even got to the whole message. In verse 28, and God blessed them. Verse 28, God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And God says, it was very good. And then he goes into chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So men, next time you score the winning catch in the Super Bowl, don't beat on your chest. Don't feel like you're too big shot, because God made you out of dust. Out of dust. One little boy heard that story. He said, Mama, Mama, come quick. He's looking under his bed. He said, there's somebody under my bed. I don't know if they're coming or if they're going. He saw a bunch of dust. Okay, so. And so he made man out of the dust. In verse 15, he put him in the garden. We don't have time to get into all of it. Then he makes woman out of the rib. Out of the rib. Not just a mental relationship. Not out of his foot. Not a servant relationship. Out of the rib next to his heart. An emotional, heartfelt love relationship. I have so many things I could say. I have to get to the message here. So you say, well, Pastor, God did all this, and we know that Adam and Eve, you know, they ended up sinning and this and that. By the way, the sin was not being without clothes. The sin was taking the fruit off the tree. You say, why did God give them that choice, knowing they may sin? Here's why. God always gives love a choice. God could have made every one of us a robot where we woke up in the morning, I will love you, I will iron your shirts, I will cook your meals, I will raise your kids, I will birth your children, anything else you want me to do, sir. What kind of relationship is that? Some of you guys are saying, that'd be great. How do we get that done? God gave them a choice. God says, I want you to love me. I've made this beautiful Garden of Eden for you. Love me, live for me. And he gave them a choice. And he gives people a choice to receive Christ as their Savior, to reject him as their Savior, to receive what he did for us, to reject what he did for us. Because he wants it to be our choice. Amen. How would you like to be paid to marry somebody? Dun, 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 dun. Well, they pay me $600,000. Here I am. What a joy to marry someone like that. It's a choice. So here's the whole thought this morning. Here it is. God in pursuit. The book of Genesis, it permeates it. God in pursuit. You say, what are you getting at? Well, here it is. We'll start with the first story. You remember the fruit? I don't know if it's an apple. Could have been a pear. It doesn't say. In the Garden of Eden, could have been a watermelon. I personally think it was probably crawfish or maybe catfish. I'm not sure what it was, but it was good. They were told, you have a lot of freedom. Eat all the trees in the garden, probably hundreds and thousands of variety. You have a lot of freedom. By the way, young people, you have a lot of freedom. You can do a lot of good things without doing the evil things. A lot of freedom. Christianity is not a faith of restriction and just rules. Hey, by the way, there's a lot of people who wanted freedom. Now they're behind bars. And there's a lot of people wanted freedom. Now they have addictions. Sometimes freedom ain't so free.
That's right.
Moses said, I've decided not to follow the pleasures of sin for a season. And so there's choices to make. But anyway, God says all the trees, but not that one. Now, you know how it is. The forbidden fruit is always appealing. No pun intended. Peel. Okay. Appealing. Wasn't long before the snake shows up. By the way, Satan always tries to mess up anything God has done. God makes marriage. He says, Adam, let me introduce you to somebody. Who's that, Lord? This is your wife. That's what a wife looks like? Whoa, man. That's where she got her name. And she said, I'm the only one for you. He said, I know. And so They're married. God does the wedding ceremony, if you will, in the Garden of Eden. So every day, get this, they walked with the Lord. He was personally in the garden. I believe they could see him. He told them about creation. He told them how much he loved them. He told them why he made all the beautiful flowers and plants and animals. He let Adam name the animals and plants. They were like this. They were best friends. God and mankind, Adam and Eve, the perfect couple, the perfect family. And God, no fear, no tears, no shame, no guilt, perfect environment. By the way, a perfect environment doesn't stay perfect when we have choices. Soon, Satan says, see that apple? See that fruit? And somehow it was discontentment inside of Eve. It'll make you wise. You've eaten all the others. That's one you really want. That's what temptation always is. It's discontentment. Here it is. Discontentment is this. God is not enough. You have the Lord. I know, but that's not enough. It wasn't long before he tempted. She took it. And then she shared it. By the way, that's why you have to watch your crowd. Watch your crowd. Most vice that people end up addicted to, it didn't start just with them. Someone says, it's great. Try it. Did you get drunk alone first time you got drunk? Did you get high alone first time you got high? When you stole something from a store, were you alone? When you did this, when you looked at pornography, what? Try it. It's great. You know the rest of the story, and we're going to hasten and tie it all together. Now the Lord shows up in the garden. It's his appointment. Adam always met him every day, same time. Spend time with him, Adam and Eve. And the Lord showed up. And they didn't show up. By the way, when you're guilty, you stop wanting to hear what he has to say. So sometimes it's just not, well, church is too early. By the way, we got the latest church in the valley. 11 o'clock, come on. Some of you used to go to church, it was 5 a.m. mass. 5 a.m. I'm not even fishing at that time. God shows up, Adam and Eve, they're hiding. Fear, guilt. Lord, we ate the fruit. Now we're hiding because we don't have any clothes on. We're ashamed. You know, it's interesting. God's name in Genesis 1, when he makes everything, is God. And it's the word that means almighty, all strong one. Amen. In chapter 2, before Adam and Eve sins, his name is Redeemer or Savior God. They don't even need saving yet till chapter 3. You know what God does? He says, guess what? I already am what you're about to need. A Savior. He's always prepared. So what's God do? Adam! Adam! It's our talk time. We've not missed it for maybe days, months, years. We don't know how long. Hey, you've never missed your... Where are you, man? I can't wait to share something with you. I can't wait to hug you today. Eve, where are you? Come on. Hey, where are you? You know who God... Don't you think God knew where they were? Come out, come out. Wherever you are. God knows everything. Well, Lord, we were guilty, so we hid. You know what God was doing? Pursuing. Pursuing. I want you back. I know you're naked. He said, I'm going to kill an animal and make you a coat and cover you. Now, let me encourage you. There's life. You can begin again. There's something we think we have to have instead of God. Then there's guilt. We're away from him. Guess what God always does? He pursues. He's on our trail. He wants us back. I'll forgive you. Hey, it's not over. I still want a relationship with you. There's more to life. It's not over. Yeah, they got kicked out of the garden, but they only live like 900 and something years afterwards. There's a new life. There's life after a death. There's life after a failure. There's life after a broken marriage. There's life after a broken heart. There's life after jail. There's life after after some missed goals. There's life after a house is repossessed. There's life after being fired from a job. There's life after a messed up marriage. There's life. And we see all through Genesis, God is the pursuer. Where are you? I want you back. We see that in the book of Genesis quickly. We see that with their first two children. Adam and Eve had two kids. They were twins. Cain and Abel. They actually were raising Cain. Okay. You know the story. God says, bring me an offering. Bring me a sacrifice. Both boys were givers. One of them did it his way. He didn't give God what God wanted. He said, I want an animal sacrifice. He gave him vegetables and fruits from his garden. God accepted Abel's offering. He rejected Cain's offering. Cain took it personal. You rejected me. And that's kind of how we are, folks. You criticize my clothes. It's kind of like you criticize me. You criticize my children. It's personal. It's like you criticize me. You criticize my car. It's like you criticize me. You criticize the New Orleans Saints. I'm doing the same thing these days. It's all right. So what happens? You know the story. Cain kills his brother in the field. God's pursuing. You see, the Savior's going to come from Adam all the way out. Jesus later on is called the second Adam. First Adam sinned. The second Adam, Jesus, when he was tempted, never sinned.
Amen.
The first Adam fell. The second Adam, Christ, rose from the dead 3 days later. He didn't fall. And so forth. So God walks out into the field and says, hey, Cain, where's your brother? Cain smarts off and says, am I my brother's keeper? I would have killed him right then if I was God. I'd have opened up the earth and just kind of done this with the earth and lightning and something else. Am I my brother's keeper? Whoa. And he says, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. He said, I'm going to send you out into the wilderness. Then Cain pipes up, my punishment is greater than I can bear. In other words, you're not fair. You know what God did? He still let Cain end up raising a family, building cities. He had life after that, but God was in pursuit. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how you're living right now. God wants you as is. He won't leave you that way. He'll work and change and remodel you. But God says, I'm after you. I want that relationship that we were supposed to have a long time ago. I want it back. You know it's not the same. I want it back. And then we have in Genesis 6, we have Noah. The entire world, guess what they wanted? Guess what their discontentment was? He was a preacher of righteousness. They didn't want to live righteousness. Whatever the word is. They didn't want to live right. Bible says the world was corrupt. And every imagination of their hearts were on evil continually. Get that? It's hard to believe. The world was worse in Noah's day than right now. It said every imagination that everyone had was on evil. You know, our nation is messed up, but I know a lot of people who are trying to do right. I know a lot of people who's trying to raise their kids right, trying to live right. So it was worse. Noah preached 100 years. Come on the ark. It had one door, one way to go to heaven. Come on the ark. He couldn't make anyone get on the ark. It was their choice. Being saved is our choice. No one's born on the ark. It's our choice to get on and receive salvation and forgiveness. 100 years he preaches, no one wanted it. They wanted wickedness and corruption. God shut the door. By the way, once saved, always saved. You didn't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to lose it. You say, but Pastor, after I got saved, I did such and such. Once saved, always saved, shall have eternal life. John 3:16. And guess what God did? He was pursuing. He was pursuing the whole world. Hey, here's the ark. It's going to flood. You're going to die. Here it is. It's going to float. There's room enough for everybody. Come on. God was pursuing. Not only that, We have another story in Scripture. We have the story of God forming a nation, the nation of Israel. It's found in Genesis 12, 3. He takes Abraham and he says, those that curse you shall be cursed. Those that bless you shall be blessed. That's the nation of Israel. It's called the Abrahamic promise or covenant. God says, now I promise you, all of your descendants, they're going to be, I've got something special for your nation, Israel. Why? What was special? The Bible would come out of the nation of Israel. The Savior, Jesus Christ, would come out of Israel. So here's Abraham. Wow, I'm going to be the grandfather of the Jewish race. He's living for the Lord, and guess what? He's taking care of a nephew named Lot. And all of a sudden, Lot's servants and Abraham's servants don't get along. And Abraham says, all right, I'll give you any direction you want. You go that way, I'll go that way. Lot says, I want that. He pointed to Sodom, the city named after the sin of Sodom, sodomy. And when you leave the choice to God, he gives you more. He looked down and says, Abraham, I'm going to give you north, south, east, west, every direction you see. So what happens? Here's Lot. There's problems. He wanted the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted things more than he wanted a great relationship with his godly uncle. He wanted things more than he wanted God. It's not long before Lot moves into Sodom. He gets promoted. He's the welcoming committee in Sodom. The angels show up, said, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's so wicked. You know what they have to do? God is in pursuit. Lot says, really? We have to leave? Fire and brimstone's coming down. The angels take Lot by his hand, his wife by her hand, their two daughters by the hand. Angels are bringing them out. What's God doing? God's in pursuit. It doesn't matter how low you've gone. God will never give up on his man or his woman or his child. It does not matter. He's in pursuit. Amen. Well, I've blown it. And look where I am and look what mess I am in. God says, but I'm in pursuit. I still want you back. And then we have, I'm winding down, we have Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. He's the grandson of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So here's Jacob. His name means supplanter or deceiver. Can you imagine if that was your name? Hey, what's your name, son? Thief. What's your name? Liar. Is that your nickname? No, that's my real name. Wow. He cheats his dad. He deceives his dad. Cheats his brother out of his inheritance. A conniver. He starts reaping during his life. He's afraid. He's an inside boy. He's never camped out. He's never been outside in the sun a day in his life. He has his own easy-bake oven. He loves it. And so he's an indoors boy, but now his brother says, I'm going to kill you. So Jacob flees. And he ends up, he has a stone for a pillow. God has a vision of angels coming up and down on a ladder. We call it Jacob's ladder. You know what God was doing? Hey, I'm still on your trail, son. You may be Jacob. You may be a deceiver. You may be worthless. People want to kill you. Hey, I'm in pursuit. Amen. He ends up marrying four different women. Now he's got all these children. I think it's 13 children. Now he hears news. I'm heading home. Your brother has 400 men. He's coming straight towards you now. Sword's drawn. What a brave man. He sends the children first. Then he sends the three wives he doesn't like a whole lot. They're next. Then he sends his, man, I'd put the mother-in-law's way at the front. Anyway, then he takes his real pretty wife and sends her. He says, I'll catch up soon. He spends the night alone. And all of a sudden, a man shows up and he starts wrestling him. He finds out he's an angel. And he touches Jacob's thigh and his thigh comes out of joint. And the angel said to him, what's your name? And for the first time in his life, he's honest. He says, my name is Jacob. In other words, my name is deceiver. That's who I am. I'm a deceiver. Right. That's my life. I take advantage of people. It's all about me. I've never cared about anybody else. The angel said, no longer shall you be called Jacob. We're going to name you Israel, a prince with God. It says, when the morning lit, he was limping on his thigh. Next thing you know, he sent an offering to his brother. He says, I am thy servant. God turned him from a taker into a giver. He turned him from a deceiver into a prince. And that's why we named the nation of Israel, Israel. It's named after him. God was in pursuit. I think sometimes we wonder, well, what's God doing in my life? He's in pursuit. He'll use valleys. He'll use mountaintops. The blessings of the Lord lead us to repentance. He'll use pain. He'll use surgeries. He'll use bankruptcies. He'll use jail. He'll use a lot of different things to catch up to us. And then last, we have Joseph. From chapter 39 to chapter 50. Here's a young boy. Because of jealousy, he's sold by his brothers into slavery. 13 years of his life, you could say, flushed down the toilet. He is a servant. Then he's lied about. A wicked woman pursued him. He said no, and they threw him in jail. She lied about him. 13 years he spent as an indentured slave. Then finally, God did a miracle and took him from the dungeon and put him on the throne of Egypt. It's like a fairy tale. Took him from prison stripes, put him in the prince's garment. Took him from the bread and water, slid under the door, to the filet mignon, a vegetarian dish. Only God can do that. Amen. You know what God was doing? Those 13 years, Joseph said, all I did was do right, and I'm in jail. All I did was do right. I've been lied about. All I did was do right. My brothers hate me. God says, hey, man, you're not alone. I'm in pursuit, and I'm chasing you down. I've got big plans for you. And he elevated him and put him on the throne of Egypt, and he saved his nation.
Amen.
Joseph. Amen. In the last verse in Genesis, it says, and they buried him in a coffin. The word coffin there means hope. Chest. Hope chest. Some of you ladies remember those. It's kind of an ancient thing. I mean, people don't sell them door to door anymore, I don't think. But it's where a woman would say, one day I'm going to have a family. I'm going to use this as a tablecloth. And these are going to be my napkin holders. And this gift from grandma is going to go in there. It was all these special things waiting for a special day. And I just want to say this morning. The book of Genesis cries out. God says, I want to be close to you. Amen. And in 2022, it is for you. Yeah. God wants us close to him. He's in pursuit.
Amen.
He's in pursuit. Some of you, what you ought to do is stop running. And you ought to turn around today and start running toward the one that blesses.
Amen.
You can't outrun him. You're going to be tired. Some of you just, and being saved, that's all it is. It's stopping your running away from him and saying, your plans are a lot better than mine. You said you'd save me by grace through faith. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then I'm going to spend my life running towards you. You'll be happy that you did. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon the truths today.